Hello, everyone, and welcome into Grip Lock Foundation Disc Golf's weekly podcast. I'm Hunter, joined as always by Trevor. We've got a pretty exciting episode here today. We're going to go over a Patreon question of the week. We just had our Heiser Club Championship, a very exclusive invite-only tournament this past weekend. We're going to do a quick little recap on that. The Pro Tour announced their 2024 schedule. We're going to go over that, as well as the Pro Tour Championship purse was also announced, and the stroke head start has been locked in for all these players. So quite a bit to talk over, but first, quick word from our sponsors. We're brought to you today by Manscaped, who's taking a step up this year to bring your face the cleanest shave it's ever seen. So this season, no need to toil and trouble. Manscaped's all-new Handyman is the best way to get rid of that stubble. Featuring a compact design and a next-gen skin-safe technology, the Handyman was designed to give you that smooth finish without a mess of traditional shave. So get the sweetest treat this Halloween by going over to manscaped.com and use code GRIPLOCK for 20% off and free shipping. It may be spooky season, but you don't want to scare people with that scraggly beard. So give them something to look at with Manscaped's Handyman. This thing, we've got it for a little bit now.
It's amazing.
Compact, very well designed. It fits like in the palm of your hand. It has a cap that goes on it, so it like looks very inconspicuous. Just
it
chilling
looks
there.
Like deodorant. Like it's that size, smaller even.
Yeah. And you just pop it off, and then go to town. It gives you a very clean shave. I've been using it to clean up my neck, but. It's very smooth, and as they mentioned here, the Handyman Skin Safe technology helps reduce the nicks and cuts so you can feel confident when going for that close shave. It's for wet or dry use, so you can bring this with you anywhere and everywhere, and the compact design is also airplane friendly, making this a perfect travel tool on the go, and being able to shave up to 3 days of growth without the mess of a wet shave is priceless. And for my wolf men out there with a little more scruff, Manscaped's Beard Hedger Pro Kit has everything you need to tame your mane. This cordless trimmer has a rotary wheel that gives you up to 20 hair cutting links with one guard, 20 beard links, one guard. So you can check all of this out by going over to manscaped.com and get 20% off and free shipping with code GRIPLOCKED. Again, that's 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com with code GRIPLOCKED. For a look as sweet as candy, get yourself the Handyman from Manscaped. So we're going to start it off actually with our Patreon monthly contest winner. Quick little shout out. So Jason's been running the Patreon, and this month he had our patrons to enter the contest to win this sick triple stamp misprint Thunderbird, Halo Thunderbird. That was what this person won. He had them write a disc golf themed haiku, which I thought was a very funny idea. And the person that won was Joycel. And this was his haiku. If you don't know what a haiku is, basically there's like different syllables to hit. They're not supposed to rhyme. So it's like a short poem. But Joycel said, "A thought comes to mind. The internet disagrees. Hashtag Brody's tweets."
It's very good.
Very good. Good job, Joycel. This is coming your way. And Jason just let me know today he's about to post this month's Patreon giveaway, which is going to be one of our exclusive stamps that is only going to be releasing at USDGC. So if you want another way to get your hands on it, you're not going to be at USDGC, the Patreon contest is a good way for October. So that'll be posted today. You can head over to patreon.com/foundationdiscgolf, and that's also where the Patreon question of the week comes from, which is we have every week, it's called the Heiser Club Mailbag. People submit questions in. We answer each and every one every Friday. This one this week came from Derek Rashke and feels like a perfect timing because he said, "Do you think there is a course on tour that could be used as the new home of USDGC? Like it has good bones and could be changed enough to be as good as Winthrop. My vote would be North Cove. It already has a tour stop and it proved to not be easy for pros." North Cove, I think, would be a good answer if it wasn't in the middle of nowhere. The lodging, I feel like, is the tough part there.
Well, yeah, the thing about USDGC is, although if you're just watching the stream of it or if you're a player competing in it, what seems to be the most important part of the tournament would be the course. From a business perspective and from the event's like actual success, commercially, the logistical side of things are way more important. Your ability to accommodate spectators, the vending, the parking. It's a very big production. It's serious business. So that is actually going to provide way more hold ups when they're picking a course rather than just the course layout itself, which is why they have such a unique challenge if they ever try to relocate this event, because they almost have to just pick something that accommodates that first and worry about the course second. But like, you don't want the course to stink. So like, that's going to be difficult. The only real answers for this would be like, I've never been on grounds at some of the upscale golf courses that they play. But like they would be some of the leaders as far as having the space and parking needed. A lot of the parks just don't.
No.
I mean, it's like... Like, for example, we just went to Milo MacGyver State Park, which is, like, a really well-known disc golf park. Like, the parking was just, like, a normal park parking lot, like, pretty small. Like, we're talking about they're parking on a university campus right now. There's a lot of options and a ton of space, so no. The answer is no. There's not anything that accommodates from a... I mean, even... It's so unique, like, even from a... standpoint of just the course itself, I don't think that there is, but definitely not for the logistics.
My answer is just going to be no. Mainly, I think the unique part, we had a meeting this morning because if you don't know, we're going to be down at USDGC. We're going to be vending there, hanging out there. We have a bunch of exclusive stamps releasing, all this fun stuff. If you're going to be there, we're very excited to see you. Swing by the booth, say what's up. We'll post the kind of the times that we'll be at the booth. Brody's going to be at the booth. It's going to be a great weekend. But Trevor and I and Connor, we've been there multiple times. And there's nothing like it. I've been to so many. I've been to majors. I've been to the Australian Open. I've been to Worlds. I've been to so many different Pro Tour events. Nothing is ran like USDGC from a fan experience perspective, where there's several courses that I think you might be able to get some of the same vibe from, but like Championship Village, for instance, the Vendor Village, I mean, you have Innova's like built up like a stage for their pro shop. There's rocking chairs sitting out front. I think there's going to be like 50 or 60 vendors or something crazy this year. There's a stage where we'll be able to do live grip lock from this year, but there's also... like, you can watch the disc golf that's going on. There's food trucks. There's, like, the experience, not to mention VIP parking can actually mean something here.
Yeah.
Because typically VIP parking's like, oh, instead of a two-minute walk, I have a 30-second walk.
Right.
This is, like, general admission parking. It saves you a lot to do VIP parking, and you actually have, like, a paved parking lot. There's, like, a spectator course you can play. There's, like, an ace challenge. And on top of all of that, the spectator viewing areas, you can walk on like paved paths around the whole course. It's so like stroller and family friendly. You can view multiple holes at the same time. There's spots to camp out. They will have to buy a property to replicate this. There's no way, if they were to ever leave Winthrop, there's no way they can go to a disc golf course that exists and get what they have there.
Yeah, and I mean, just the paving alone would cost them millions of dollars.
Yeah, there's no...
if they wanted to try and do that. I mean, impossible.
It's a special event. So, Derek, is the answer there.
No.
And like I said, this past weekend, we had the Heiser Club Championship. We're not going to park on it too long, but I mean, we had people from Canada. We had some guys from Northern Idaho. I literally told him I'd get those two states confused in my head, and I just did it. Northern Idaho. We got to
Florida.
Florida. We got to meet so many people. It was an awesome, awesome weekend. And Addison Coleman ended up taking it down. First ever crowned Heiser Club champion. We'll get his name etched on the trophy. We crowned him with a jacket. We gave him... it's about a 10-pound crystal trophy. We were pretty proud of. I feel like it was a very successful weekend. They played... so how he won is basically we did a round of random draw doubles where we were all mixed in, round of Ripped Revenge singles, and then the final round of singles out at New London. And he ended... I think he won the tournament with a 18-under was his final score, so...
yeah.
Very fun weekend. We could do like a whole warehouse tour, pizza party, all kinds of fun stuff. The trophy was posted out, and it was funny to watch the different audiences react to the trophy. So like on Brody's Twitter, trophy was well received. On Instagram, our Instagram, trophy was very well received. Then people took screenshots of it and put it on Facebook. So now you're outside of Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just like a screenshot. So now you're reaching just the disc golf market. Very funny to see the different reaction, because then you had the Facebook by nature's older generation, you know, a lot more old heads in disc golf, and a lot of older heads in disc golf don't like our content, us in general, which everyone knows that. And so seeing them react to this trophy once, because it was tied to Foundation, it wasn't just posted, hilarious. Like the amount of people that were just arguing for the boat oars and steering wheels and stuff in the comments. I was eating it up. I thought it was very funny.
Disc golf, man. Sometimes it is very silly.
Yeah.
I saw that too. People were like, I saw somebody on Twitter being like, because like Brody tweeted about it and being like, it's such a boring trophy. Like, it's not boring. It's very nice looking, and like,
it's a trophy.
Yeah,
to start.
It's a trophy. Like, it's
at least
an
it's not a boring
trophy.
Artifact from your wall in
and
the garage.
And here's the thing: even if it is slightly generic, because you know when you order a trophy from a catalog, like it is from a catalog or whatever, you know, we got our logo on it. And if the Pro Tour did trophies that looked nice and looked well made, but were just generic, we wouldn't talk about them.
No.
Because they would look
fine. They don't take anything away from
the event. They would look fine for appearances. It's because they try to do stuff that's just ridiculous. And then they, yeah.
Well, I would also guarantee between the trophy and the jacket that we probably spent more on the trophy and the jacket this weekend than the average Pro Tour event all year.
Yeah. And yet, it wasn't even that much.
No.
Like, compared to like what a budget for a Pro Tour should be.
Yeah. But no, you made the perfect point, which was, yeah, it wasn't anything, it's not a mind-blowing trophy, but if someone wins a Pro Tour event and hoisted that, no one talks about
it. Yeah, you'd be like, oh, cool.
Yeah, because it does what a trophy should do, which is like, it's a great memento, memory thing. It takes nothing away from the moment.
Right.
Now, a trophy can add to the moment if you have like a really cool... But where we're at in disc golf right now, I feel like trophies should be like, let's not distract from the moment.
Yeah.
Versus most, I won't say most,
a
lot.
Step up from where we're at the moment.
Yeah, that's why, hey, I'm team big check, but.
Team big check.
I'm also team anti-Silver Series, and it was a huge W in our column this weekend because the Silver Series have officially been killed. They're gone. It's a very tough scene for everyone who is coming after me all year long saying how much they mattered, how they're just as important, how they should be considered Pro Tour wins, all of that. I will be curious, will the Pro Tour revoke all these players they claimed had Pro Tour wins now that these Silver events are being designated as something else? But if you haven't seen, this upcoming year, Silver events are no more. It is just disc golf Pro Tour events. I've been saying that for I feel like a year now. That's what it should be. I think I was referencing it as that. This is a huge win for me. So let me gloat for a second here. I'm very excited about this.
This is great.
This is how it should be. So basically, there's still event classes. There's still Elite Plus events. Why? I don't know.
Well,
I would scratch
one. That's
those.
The next one on your list.
That should go, but
top of your list now.
At least that's like still a Pro Tour win, and it's worth more. Mm-hmm. The Silver event was like, you're telling us to care less about it.
Yeah.
Anyways, you have DGPT.
Is the DGPT the new Silver?
Maybe. No. You have DGPT, a win's worth 100 points. DGPT Plus, a win's worth 125. Playoffs, a win's worth 150, which that's a big difference there.
Yeah.
This year, playoffs and Elite Plus events were both worth the same. Now, playoff events are worth more. And then majors, a win's worth 200, which a major, I think, might have also been about
the same.
I think all three were the same. But anyways, so I wanted to kind of read some of this statement here. Let me find where the line is. The 2024 season will mark the end of the DGPT's use of silver event designation in the United States. All U.S.-based DGPT tournaments in 2024 will carry the PDGA Elite Series designation. As a result, all tournaments will be simply referred to as DGPT event. Suck it. And will be worth at least 100 points for a win. Some U.S. silver events from previous season will be included in a DGPT qualifying series. Suck it too. Schedule that will allow players to additional opportunity to earn their tour card for the following season. I mean, I might as well have written this article. They might as well have just handed me the pen and I could have written this months ago. I'm very excited about this. Additional information about the qualifying series and plans for previous silver events will be made available this offseason.
How many of the top pros are going to play the qualifying series events, though?
They shouldn't be able to.
Why not?
Because it's qualifying. They already have their tour card.
That's what they're calling it, but I think they'll still be able to play them.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It won't matter because they're qualifying events. So no one will hold that in the same regard as a Pro Tour win.
No. Well, you can't. They won't call it that anymore.
But no,
I'm just saying I'm going to be curious to see that schedule because what can still happen and probably what will still happen is there will be a qualifying event if they put one at the right course that people like to play at the right point in the schedule where everybody's like, well, I might as well play it. We may still have a qualifying event that has a harder strength of field than like OTB Open.
But the good thing is it shouldn't and doesn't sound like it will give them Pro Tour points, which is the whole problem I've had before. where like if I'm Ricky Wysocki and I show up to a qualifying event.
What did it say? It just earns them points towards getting their tour card though?
Yeah, it's a qualifying. It's a whole separate series.
So it's going to be a new kind of points.
Yeah, and allow players an additional opportunity to earn their tour card for the following season.
Yeah, that's cool.
So in my head, if you already earned your tour card, you probably will be excluded.
Well, if they're not giving out pro tour points, then that'll immediately... People will not, unless they want to make a little payday or something. Like there's,
they won't. That's what I'm saying. Is it from all of this? This the event class here, which shows how this is the Pro Tour point system, will event of four event classes. So to this, it says that outside of Pro Tour events, you can't earn Pro Tour points according to this, which is just the Pro Tour, Pro Tour Plus, Playoffs, Major.
RIP
that says
the Silver Series
2024 DGPT point system composes of four events. Now here's the question I want to pose. You have players like Alden Harris, I believe.
Yeah.
His only wins the Mid-America Open, silver event.
It's no longer a pro tour.
If that gets classified as a qualifying event, he has no pro tour wins. Agree or disagree?
I believe the win counts as what it was at the time of the event because that's...
So he's just a silver event.
Because it was different. Yeah, it was a different event because the field will change greatly depending on the club. It's like if you won Memorial when it was an NT, it was an NT. Now it's just an A tier. It's a different type of win.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the slightly difference is like that's a whole different tour thing.
Yeah.
Because like you don't have a pro tour win if you want an NT.
Right. But I'm just saying that even if they classify
he already has zero pro tour wins in my head because he won a silver.
Yeah. I don't even know what you're talking about because this is how it's always been. I mean, it's going to be muddy in the history books when you got to go back and be like, well, 30 years ago, I won a silver event. And your grandson's like, what the heck is a silver event?
It's the same as like, I won a Corn Ferry Tour event.
Like, I won a Diamond 2 event. I won a Plat 3 Grand Champ event back in 2018.
So the Portland Open and Ledgestone are set to return as DGPT Plus event. And then the Discraft Great Lakes Open in Waco. Don't like Waco there. Which adds another course. Never mind, maybe I do. I forgot about that. Waco's expanding to a different two courses. They're going to have that golf course come into play, I believe.
Oh, yeah.
Because Brody played a practice round out there at it last year.
That's right.
So maybe I do like Waco, which adds another course in a fourth round, have been elevated to the DGPT Plus status. The playoffs will return with GMC and the MVP Open at Maple Hill taking place back-to-back in late September, and they'll meet similar added cash standards to the DGPT Plus event and will continue to play a significant role in determining which players qualify for the Pro Tour Championship. More information on cut lines and qualification metrics will be released at a later date.
I feel like we're done giving the good news about the schedule.
Yeah. This is an interesting one. Thanks in large part to these events, the plus events, we've broken our records in 2023 with over 1.4 million of added cash and over 2.5 million in event prize purses awarded at DGPT run events. That's kind of a cool stat. 2.5 million prize purses this year.
Are we talking about millions in disc golf these days?
Yeah. Okay, so 2024 changes. New event, the Florida Open, will open the 2024 season in the Southeast and take place at Grand Canyon.
That is the most pathetic, and we'll get, once we announce the schedule, we'll get to it. Maybe we can do a little power rankings of event names or something, but the Florida Open. Are you kidding me? Yeah, let's go ahead and put an event in Florida. What should we call it? I don't know. The Florida Open? Like, what, did they put a bunch of five-year-olds in a room?
Well, also, if we're now having qualification for tour cards, it's not an open, right? Or is it open?
Correct. If you can only get in with a tour card, I don't know. I mean, it's a slippery slope because it's like, well, you could qualify for a tour card, so technically, is it open? I don't know. The open thing's overused, but the Florida Open.
No, that very.
How about
name.
Like anything else? Like at least like tie it into Florida. The Palm Beach Open. Like I don't know something.
The Tallahassee Classic.
I'm just saying like the Florida Open to me is so funny. Like I can't imagine sitting down and meeting like what should we name this event and that's what they walk out with.
Yeah.
The other ideas must have been really bad.
There was probably no other ideas. But this is at the course that Paul and Dylan Cease bought recently, Throw Down the Mountain course, Grand Canyon. Highest rated course in Florida, according to UDisc. And the change aligns with long-term planning and tour card holder
the
support.
The shootout at the swamp.
For limiting...
Better,
there you go.
Better name.
Limiting cross-country travel each season. So Texas States and Beaver State Fling have been elevated from silver event status and will join Pro Tour events for a total of 18 tournaments to make up the core 2024
triple
tour.
Triple stop in Texas.
So
hot dang.
Here is... I'm going to just read through the schedule.
Yeah, just read through
it. Because that's probably the easiest way audio-wise to expand it.
Then we can rant on
it. So it all starts... They have a new event class, DGPT-X, which is exhibition, like that. Anyways,
I like it.
All starts at All Star Weekend in Orlando, Florida.
Disney World.
February 16th through February 18th. Then we go to the Florida Open, kicking things off. Still in February. I'm not going to read the dates for all these.
Oh, let me. I'm going to start doing my my Open count here.
Good luck. Good luck. Good night. Oh my gosh.
Okay, go ahead.
That's one. Gosh. Okay. Then we have the Waco Annual Charity Open. Okay. Then we move over, still in Texas, to the Open at Austin. And then we have, this is an interesting one, U.S. Women's is also going to be in Austin in March. So U.S. Women's gets out of the way early, happening in Austin,
just
Texas,
sets
in
the
March.
Stage even more for Throw Pink to be a major in our hearts.
Yeah. Then we have Texas State Championship. So that's the Texas swing. We now have
championships. That's great.
Yeah.
Good job.
Waco, Austin, Houston for Texas. Then we go to the Jonesboro Open. Then we go Music City Open. Then we go Dynamic Discs Open. Then OTB Open, Portland Open. Then up to Beaver State Fling.
Great name.
Preserve Championship.
Fine.
Des Moines Challenge.
Great name.
European Open. Ledgestone Open. Idlewild Open. Then the PDGA Pro Worlds.
Mm-hmm.
Fine. Lynchburg, Virginia next year, by the way.
Woo!
Then Discraft Great Lakes Open. Green Mountain Championship. MVP Open. And then USDGC Pro Tour Championship Champions Cup.
13 of 18 Open.
Yeah. Very tough scene there.
Okay. I just, like, you have an opportunity to name an event. And, like, if these events are ancient, I'm not going to get that mad at them, like, whatever. But Florida Open? Come on.
Now, I'm going to have to look at I'm going to have to look at a map here.
It's in...
Let me actually scroll down to this map.
Where Brooksville is that you're trying to figure out?
No. Okay. If the Music City felt a little anachronistic to me, but it's not. Because I thought Arkansas was on more west than it is. Hmm. But it's not. It's right there. It felt kind of out of place.
Word.
But I would assume, because what I was getting at is I would assume that the schedule originally was planning to come to Georgia in this April schedule range for a Champions Cup. Because this is my big qualm with the schedule, if you will. I've actually talked about this before. So suck at number, what are we at, four now?
Yeah, I think so.
Suck at number four. Number I've four. Talked about this, of starting the tour in Florida and ending it in the Southeast. So you go Southeast and then out and around and back to the Southeast. That just makes way more sense than trying to start it out west and do this whole zigzag thing that we were doing. So starting in Florida makes perfect sense. Three events in Texas is questionable, but
yeah, I'd say so.
What's weird here, or what sucks here, is the front half of let's put it how it is. The Pro Tour season, the disc golf season, isn't going to feel like it matters until the end of June. Because let me just read you again the last stretch here. So this is starting on June 18th, okay?
Well,
but
here's the easy way to do this.
Wait a minute. The whole month of July is off, so they're planning to be in Europe. So let's just ignore the European Open because the whole month of July doesn't exist on the schedule. Mm. I just lied. July is the seventh month. This is July 18th.
Yeah.
It's worse than I thought. So July 18th. So they don't really have much planned.
How many
here.
Majors, playoff events, and elite pluses are in from July on versus not? And it's probably staggering.
All of them. There's only the Portland Open and Waco are the two plus events that aren't in that.
And then
everything else
is in the back half.
Because there's not a major. Because U.S. Women's is before that. But obviously that's only the FPO major. But anyways, so July 18th. Through November 3rd. So it's what? July to August, September. It's like three-ish months, basically, because you're going end of July to very beginning, end of October. You have European Open, major. Ledgestone Open, feels very big. Idlewild Open, always feels big. Worlds, major. D-Glow, always a huge tournament. GMC, MVP Open, USDGC, Pro Tour Champions, Champions Cup.
It's disgusting. It's disgusting.
Like, you go into it, if you are dominating this first half of the season, it means nothing.
Yeah.
Because all the points and all the events everyone cares about don't start till July.
Super bad.
Champions Cup has to move.
They have to move.
There's no option. Champions Cup has to be moved to somewhere in this April slot.
It is like the savior of the beginning of that schedule. And it was that way this season too, where it's like, listen, like things don't, it makes sense to like let the season get underway before you start kicking things off, but you got to throw that first major in there early, April, May. somewhere in there. It's got to go there. It
well, where
has
it,
to,
where it fits
now,
is just bring it to Charlotte or somewhere over here around this this weekend in April.
We're going to start watching professional disc golf in February, and we're not going to get a MPO major until the end of July.
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy to
me. Yeah, February.
5 months of disc golf without a major. That's almost half of a year.
Yeah, and then in the last 3 months, you have four majors.
Four majors.
European Open, Worlds, USDGC, Champions
Cup.
It's
bad.
Terrible.
It's really bad.
It's awful.
Oh, my gosh. And, like, yeah, it's like, at the end of the day, okay, we'll hit the end of the, you know, we'll have the excitement of the Pro Tour starting up to carry us through those first few months, and then eventually we'll make it to the, but like, you're already like mid-summer by the time you get a major. But the problem is, everything's just going to be so saturated at the end of that season, you're not going to get a time to take a deep breath and be like, enjoy the what's happening. It's like, well, there's another major next week.
The thing
the
thing I also don't like is players are streaky. Players get on hot streaks. If a player gets hot at the beginning of the season, they win a few Pro Tours. If a player gets hot at the end of the year, they could win three majors.
Yeah.
Because if you get hot, if you get hot in August, you could win World USDGC and Champions Cup.
It's poopy.
It's terrible. It's terrible. The other thing that, in my opinion, is terrible is the elimination of the Las Vegas Challenge.
Yeah, it's a bummer.
I did love Vegas.
I guess the reason being is that they go from Texas to Jonesboro.
Like they go Texas to Jonesboro to Nashville to Kansas, but then they make the stretch from Kansas all the way to OTB.
Right.
That's the perfect stretch for it.
Yeah. Well, it would have been really ideal if they were just going from Texas and just kept going over to Vegas, but because they're hitting like Jonesboro then, but they still could have slid it in there.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like DDO, you have 2 weeks until the OTB open.
I think there's probably... There's
something else going on.
Yeah, say they've always seemed to like that tournament, and I remember when we were even at there and we talked to the GM, he even talked about getting it a little later in the year.
So the grass could be green.
So that the grass could be green, and that even the tour had even mentioned that to them if they started in Florida, but then they just got bumped out. So I don't know. Who knows? Maybe they just decided they're not doing it. I don't know.
Well, what is interesting here is there's only three events west of Texas.
Dude, yeah. The comments, when the schedule first came out, everybody was like, oh, so you mean like the Midwest East Coast Tour? Or because like it is, I feel bad for the West Coast. You know, they just are not getting a lot of representation. I don't really know what is made the Pro Tour decide. It's just like it somehow happened where a lot of the course selection has a lot to do with it, because you think about the iconic West Coast courses, a lot of them just haven't been able to hang on.
They're just too short.
Yeah, just a lot of shorter
the
courses.
The Memorial.
The easiest way to think about it is like on the East Coast over here, and this is only drawing from my limited knowledge of being touring the West Coast this summer, but over here when we have these parks that are just massive and there's just nothing really to put in them a lot of times. So they put
just mountain
bike
trails.
Yes, they put disc golf courses. And on the West Coast, a lot of times you have more municipal parks that are kind of in populated areas where you put in really cool courses like La Mirada, but tough to make them super, super long and challenging like Fountain Hills. They're a lot more public. People use them a ton. So I think that has something to do with it to where... I don't know, but I'm surprised they're not trying to introduce a little bit more. You know, there's a lot, like no event in Utah that surprises me. You know,
it would be interesting.
Although
how
I did go to Ogden, so
yeah.
Maybe it doesn't.
It'll be interesting to see how the qualifying events overlay on this schedule.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like, is the qualifying events going to be Midwest heavy? But if I'm a player, I wanted to bring up this tweet from Ricky.
I mean, who's even going west?
That's what I was going to bring up here. So Ricky Wysocki said, I would like to see the schedule in the future allow for a longer off season. We have events starting mid-February and big events don't end till beginning of November. I feel like we need more than 2 months of recovery time in the off season. What does everyone think?
Yeah.
And my initial response was like, well, now that they're all Pro Tour level events, players can be a lot more picky and choosy.
I mean, when you look at that schedule, particularly if you're driving, but when you look at that schedule and you only see three blips on the, like, very far west compared to everything else, you're not going.
No.
That's my break.
That's what I'm going to say. So if you're a pro,
those
and
events
I'm like,
are going to have shockingly, Now, they do throw in the plus, because Portland is the only plus over there, right?
Correct. Yeah.
So, luckily, because of that plus, that'll probably mean that Beaver State and Portland will at least be good. But OTB, I'm scared for OTB's strength of field. It was bad this year. It might be really bad.
Well, because here's my opinion. If I'm a pro, and I know the back half of the season's coming, and it's coming with a vengeance, I get through the front stretch. It is now Sunday, May 5th. I just tapped out at Dynamic Discs Open. If I skip the OTB Open, I can have 3 weeks off.
Yeah.
And then I can fly out to Portland, rent a car, be out there for 2 weeks, and then fly to Minnesota or fly to... Because I think DDO to Minnesota is only like a six-hour drive or something like that. So like, I can fly... I can figure out how to get wherever.
That's only a six-hour drive?
Maybe it's more. No, I'm thinking of DMC. Maybe that was 6 hours.
How about us?
But that's what I'm looking at, right? Is I'm saying...
Yeah.
I'm looking at that as there's my break in the season, because pros are going to be looking for that break because they're all pro tour events.
Yeah.
You can be picky and choosy a lot more, you know? And now I'm thinking, and it sucks for the West Coast, but that's what I'm thinking is I'm looking at May 5th and I'm picking and choosing how much time I want off.
It is crazy that the birthplace of disc golf is going to have probably the worst field.
Well, you know you didn't. Tour. You know you have a East Coast heavy map when you can put 2024 U.S. schedule and maps just on the Midwest, and you're like, well, nothing's there, so I can just make that as big as I want.
Yeah, they could have made it bigger. What the heck?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then, I mean, obviously, yeah, the schedule, I think everybody agrees that the schedule ending into November is just silly.
No, yeah, the schedule going to November, hope Champions Cup will be returned to April in the future. All signs would point to that. I'm hoping it's returned to April this upcoming year.
Yeah.
Because that's a great opportunity for the PDGA to just be like, look, we're the good guys. We listened to everyone. We moved it. Oh, flowers, flowers.
Or do we need to have some kind of like.
Maybe we start a campaign. Maybe we start a petition. Petition to move
Where should we move it? Is there a break in the schedule? Look at the schedule and see. Let's pick our weekend.
Let's see here. So you have 17, 21st.
Oh, just when U.S. No, like when did
it... No, I think the break that looked like it was intentionally planned was...
after Texas States?
No, it's somewhere... Where is Music City?
Right there.
There. 14, 19, 21st. I think that's it. The next weekend would be May 28th.
That's kind of late.
Or April 28th.
Now we're talking.
Yeah, that's the weekend. Now, so somewhere between Nashville, Tennessee and Emporia, Kansas, on the weekend of April 28th.
Okay, that's going to be petition. The weekend of April, it'd be the 25th, 26th, 27th, and 28th of April, and somewhere in between where?
Somewhere between Nashville, they're going out to DDO. So really, anywhere in this vicinity.
Plenty of golf courses.
There's got to be something out there.
Not our problem.
No, that's not what we're trying to figure out.
Yeah.
I mean, you're driving right through... Yeah, you'll find something. Then they have to drive through Missouri, right? That's Missouri. Eagles Crossing. Get them the 1 year major. Just throw it out there because you know it's coming right back to W.R. Jackson.
It's written in the stars
because that's Missouri, right? Yeah, because you go to Kansas
What's
City.
What's the other one that's like?
So that's perfect. It's St. Louis. It's right on the border.
What's
right
the other
there?
One that's like sick out there? Harmony Bends,
Mid America. Yeah,
yeah. There's another option. Two options.
It's too easy.
All right, now we're doing all the work for you, PDGA.
Yeah, I think we go that weekend, April 28th, move Champions Cup. It would fix the schedule up a lot.
Oh.
And there we go. Anyways, I think that's all I want to talk about with the schedule. Silver events gone, good. Qualifying events coming, good. Schedule starting in Florida, good. 13 opens, bad.
Bad.
Midwest/West Coast representation, bad.
Florida.
And I think that's it. Yeah. There you go.
Florida Open. Like, that just sounds... You know what that sounds like? Okay, this is it. So, when you buy, like, a PGA Tour video game and they don't have the licensing rights to use the name of an event, they'll give it a generic one. Like, let's just say...
The Florida Open.
Like, for the Masters, for years they didn't have rights to the Masters, so they would call it different things, and like it sounds like something they would do that. Like if there was a major in Florida and then there was a video game they didn't have the rights to name it, they would call it the Florida Open because that's just so silly. The Florida Open.
It's in Brooksville, so you can do something with B.
Anything.
Battle for Brooksville.
I mean, oh my gosh. I don't know what. I just
all right. Well, it's time for the fan favorite segment, Trevor's Trivia. What do you got this week?
I don't know. I can even think about it with this whole Florida Open thing. Today's episode is brought to you by Bryce Allen, my favorite Patreon member.
Your favorite? Wow.
Shout out, Bryce. Okay. So
there's a lot of Heiser Club members from this weekend that are ticked right now. Because they're not your favorite, apparently.
Well, you know, not everybody. Yeah, I can't disclose. Okay, now I do think that you did have this graphic pulled up, but I don't think you paid enough attention to it to matter. But we're going to try and name all of the USDGC winners in order.
Oh, I did not have that graphic pulled up. This is what you're talking about here, and it's the Pro Tour points.
Thank heavens.
Yeah.
Thank heavens.
USDGC winners in order. Can I go from recent backwards?
Sure. I've got them all right here because I did this. I gave Hunter a hint early, and I'll look again to make sure I'm not messing this up. What the? Is that for?
Because we're in year 25, so it goes to 98.
Is there a typo on this, or did I just learn a piece of history that I've never learned before?
There's a year without USDGC?
No.
Oh.
Wait. 2011. Mm-hmm. Is that the year you're talking about? Mm-hmm. They have a...
I think it was all performance flight.
That explains. They had like the champion there. Why was that?
I don't know.
Okay.
I remember it being something weird.
In any case, there has not been a back-to-back winner since Ken Climo did it in the very first 2 years of the event, which is just insane to me. Like, that just is awesome.
Okay, well, I don't want to go. I'll just, if I get to Ken Climo from recent backwards, then I win the birdie points of, or the bonus points of just Climo. Because if I start Climo, I'm not going
to
know the next
2011
person.
Winner, I'll just give it to you, was John Key.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure, I'll Google it after. I'm pretty sure it was performance flight
it
only
was,
that
must
year.
Have been. I was staring at that like.
Because they were leaning to like the one division, one champion thing.
Yeah.
And that's how they used to have performance flight. And so would play a performance flight and you got like strokes based on your rating. It was like how you played in accordance to your rating. And so like if you shot above your rating,
thank
that's how far
they
under
got
par
out
you
of
were.
That mess. What were they thinking?
And so I think they were trying to lean into that for that 1 year. It was a weird one. Anyways, last year was Gannon Burr.
Yes.
2022, Gannon Burr. 2021, Paul McBeth.
Yep.
2020, Chris Dickerson.
Yep.
2019, James Conrad.
Yep.
2018 was... Who won in between those two, though? Who would have won 17? 2018 was Paul.
Yes.
2017 was Nate Sexton.
Yes.
2016 was Jeremy Colling.
Yes.
2015 was Paul.
Yes.
2014 was Will Schustrick.
Yes.
2013 was... Shoot. It's 2012 Schustrick and 10 Schustrick. I got to find 11 is John Key. So I just have to get 13 and then I'm way back. This has to be Steve Brinster.
Yep.
So then 12 Schustrick, 10 Schustrick,
mm-hmm.
2009 was Nico LeCastro.
Yes.
2008.
I'd be impressed if you get any from here. It starts to get really difficult. Back to 09 is pretty good for us.
Did Doss even win one at this point? Feldberg sneaks one in at some point. Barry Schultz is in there twice. Climo's in there a bunch. There's still some interesting winners out there, though, I think. All right, I'm going with... I don't know if Nate Doss ever won a U.S. championship. He's a three-time world champ. No, that picture of him is him hoisting worlds. It's not USDGC. So 2008. Okay, we're in the era of Schustrick and Nico. We're just starting. It's the end of Avery. Did Avery win a US? No. I mean, Barry was still very relevant, but did he win that late? Barry Schultz.
You're kicking yourself.
Who was it?
It was Doss.
It was Doss. I couldn't. I thought. I felt like it was him, but I couldn't remember if he had.
It becomes a mess after that. He goes Doss, Climo, Schultz, Feldberg, Climo, Schultz, Climo, Schultz, Climo, Climo.
Yeah.
So
I'm proud of that.
That was very impressive. If you would have got Doss, I would have been very
impressed. I was leaning towards Doss, but for some reason, I couldn't picture if he won a U.S. title.
I forget about that a lot as well.
He did. He did win a U.S. title.
How far back? Did you know further back? Comment down below. Will we have a back-to-back winner this year? Gannon Burr? Probably not, but very possible.
I'm liking... I won't spoil the preview show. Preview show, by the way, is going to be on the grounds. So Wednesday, we're going to be on the grounds filming the preview show. I think we'll have like fives green and sixes tee behind us somewhere in that area. Man. Very exciting. But not to spoil the preview show, I'm liking Isaac Robinson, Gannon, Ricky a lot. Calvin, I like for a top three, so I got to figure out who I'm bumping and who I'm moving. I don't like Calvin for a win, though, but I might still pick him.
I like Matty O a lot.
Matty O's going to be good. USDGC, though, there's always like Kevin Jones historically plays very good out there. Chris Clemens gets himself in the mix. There's so many guys.
Dickerson
just like
will probably hang
Dickerson
around.
Will get himself in the mix. Paul's not there, or else that'd be a scary one. There's so like USDGC.
Well, Paul's not due he's not due until 2024, so next year.
Yeah, there's so many players that like USDGC so hard that can get themselves in the mix. Fascinating. All right. The next big thing that happened over the last week is the Pro Tour Championship payout will set another record. So the payout structure, the total purse for the 2023 Pro Tour Championship is $322,000.
Drew Gibson, breaking news.
Oh.
Drew Gibson is dropping.
Minor, did you see?
Yes. Minor setback, getting ready for the event, decided to sit this one out. I'm not re-injured. I felt a small pop/twins in my elbow I had operated on in July. I was advised by the doctor to take it easy and not push it due to this weird feeling. Sounds like re-injury.
It's an interesting.
That's a bummer.
That does suck because he was supposed to come back for USDGC, but
not playing.
So the Pro Tour announced purse 2023 will be $322,000, breaking its own record of $302,000 in 2022. So an increase of $20,000. $40,000 will be going both to MPO and FPO winners, which will be the biggest individual disc golf payouts, breaking last year's record of $35,000. Pro Tour cited the support of Barbasol, the event's title sponsor, as a driver for the increased purse this season.
Awesome.
So basically how payout will end up working is it doesn't break until fifth place. So for MPO and FPO, it goes $40,000 first, $22,000 second, $14,000 third, $10,000 fourth. And then from fifth on, it gets a little different, but MPO goes $9,000, $8,000, $7,000, $6,000, $5,000, $4,500, $4,000, $3,500, and then $2,500 for showing up if you get there.
You just want to qualify for this one.
Yeah, you qualify, you get $2,500 for just rolling out of bed that day.
Gosh, man. I mean, the podium is so much
money. You come in fourth place in MPO or FPO, you get $10,000.
Yeah, it's like a winning purse amount.
Fourth place.
Yeah. So awesome.
That's crazy.
40 grand.
And so there's going to have starting strokes, as we talked about previously. So they have been announced now as well. So going into the Tour Championship, this is the MPO starting strokes. This isn't everyone on the list. So I'm assuming past two under, they must start at even. Or maybe they full list is on this link. Okay.
Oh, hit them with it.
Is this going to make things way more confusing than that graphic? No, okay. So I'll just use this graphic for... No, this will be easier. Okay. This is the starting strokes. Calvin Heimberg is the one seed. He comes in with six under. This is only during the semifinals. So the first two rounds, Calvin will be at six under going into him. And they reset everything and throw out the great idea they had straight out the window, so none of this matters. But Calvin Heimberg coming into round one will be sitting at six under. Isaac Robinson will be at five under. Gannon and Ricky will both be at four under. Eagle, Matty O, Simon, and Kyle Klein will all be at three under. AB, Cole Radalyn, James Proctor, Ezra Robinson, Alden Harris, Aaron Gossage, Chris Dickerson, and Ezra Aderhold will all be at two under par. Kevin Jones, Adam Hammes, Bradley Williams, James Conrad, Ben Callaway, Corey Ellis, Joel Freeman, and Chris Clemens will all be at one under par. And then Nicholas Antela, Vino Makala, Nicola Castro, Emerson Keith, Andrew Presnell, Mason Ford, Paul Ulibarri, and Parker Welk will all start at even par.
Shout out Paul Ulibarri.
So basically, they'll have to get...
I hope Parker Welk wins.
Yeah, it'd be interesting. That'd be awesome. Then on the FPO, we have Kristen Zatar starting at 5 under par. Missy Gannon will start at 4 under par. Owen Scoggins and Holland Hanley will both start at 3 under par. Ella Hansen, Kat Merch, Haley King, Katrina Allen will all start at 2 under. Sarah Hokum, Macy Valadez, Jessica Weiss, and Allie Smith will all start at 1 under. And then Maria Oliva, Jennifer Allen, Stacey Ronsley, Holly Finley, Lisa Fakus, Laike Lorenzen, Juliana Corver, and Valerie Mandahano will all start at even. So that's the Pro Tour Championship.
Can't be fun to watch.
2 weeks away from that?
Yeah.
I believe. Because we go after? USDGC and then straight to Pro Tour Championship.
And then that's that.
Then the offseason.
Wraparound events.
And wraparound events. What? No. There are no wraparound
events. Yeah.
Yeah, because the silver events. Gonzo. Dang. No wraparound events.
They had disappeared as mysteriously as they arrived.
Now, they did. I do want to go back to the schedule just for a brief second because
go back to it, man.
I did find the wording of this interesting. They did say U.S. tournaments have been announced. So there are possible plans for Europe tournaments. Mm. Because this is the North America Tour schedule, a separate DGPT points earning events based in Europe will be announced at a later date.
Okay.
So we don't know what that looks like. But they also said the 2024 season will mark the end of Pro Tour's use of silver event designation in the United States. All U.S.-based Pro Tour tournaments in 2024 will carry the PDGA of Elite Series
designation. They're taking the silver series to Spain.
So I don't know if the silver events are going to be what they use in Europe.
Oh, no.
But like maybe
it's going to be so funny. Like verbal meme, the Undertaker like coming out of the coffin at WWE, the silver events.
Coming back. But like if that's the case, then surely the audience at home will understand silver events can't mean anything at that point. If it's like the only way you win a silver event is if you go to Europe and play a silver event and like then you're going to, and they try calling them Pro Tour winners. No, that's definitely not flying.
Listen, I'll say this though, the whole silver thing. You know, we've had a few victories on this podcast as far as us not speaking things into existence by any means, just having parallel ideas that made sense and the Pro Tour eventually implemented. This one, I feel like we may have just annoyed them too much.
Maybe.
Week after week, the diligence, especially mostly from you to just basically be like, well, yeah, it's not a Pro Tour win, like over and over again.
It rolled into the comments. There's a lot of people chirping.
That's what I'm saying. I think we did it. I think we may have influenced this.
And I don't
know. People will comment, tell us we're delusional, but hey, we get more viewers than the Pro Tour does.
It makes more sense this way. It makes more sense this way. That's all I have to say on the matter. It's like something blocking my face this whole time. Oh, it's just my mic. Okay. Anyways, that wraps it up for this week.
Microphone.
Don't forget to tune in to the preview show on Wednesday. It'll post Wednesday night or Thursday morning. Again, it'll be at USDGC. And then we're going to have daily recaps getting you ready for the live coverage of USDGC live from the stage down there. So we're going to shoot
crowd surfing if we get enough
in
people.
The morning. Yeah, if y'all are interested, 9 a.m. Eastern time, you can come down there. They're going to have speakers where you'll be able to hear what we're saying.
Feel free to boo
us. You can sit there, be in the background of the preview show, and
I will say, if you do come to watch, it would be awesome if you made funny signs.
Yeah, bring
keep
some
them
signs.
Appropriate. Or we will kick you out of the viewing angle. But if you bring some signs, you bring some like silver events aren't real signs or like.
Can someone bring? Here's what I want. I want someone to bring funny. A tombstone of says silver events on it,
yeah.
And have the years they existed, and just hold that up in the
signs
background.
Signs. Feel free to like throw some ridiculous quotes or takes up on some signs. That would be a lot of fun to have those in the background of the show.
That would be very funny.
So,
all right, there you have it. We'll see you on Wednesday/Thursday. For the preview show, and then every day after that until next Monday when we recap the United States Disc Golf Championships. Very exciting week ahead. We can't wait. We'll see a lot of you down there.